The DL Debate in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love with outdoor dining. Book now and enjoy the Sarah's experience.
Welcome one and all to the latest edition of the DL Debate, beaming out from the famous Mountaintop Studios in Highland Radio. This is your weekly GA show and podcast that's jammed in tonight like Michael Murphy's trophy cabinet. We have County Chairman Mick McGrath will be coming on to discuss all GA matters. We have newly ratified County Boss Declan Boner with his 2-year extension in the Donegal hot seat. And we have Gary McDead discussing the intermediate junior and senior championships. But first of all, I'm delighted to say I have a man on. He was a teak, tough Tyrone defender in his day. He was part of a management team that won a Tyrone under 21 title along with Brian Duher and Peter Canavan. And this year, himself and Duher took the hot seat in Tyrone. And what a season it's been so far. It's Fergal Logan. Fergal, how are you this evening?
Great, Brenton, thanks. All good. Hope all's well up your way.
Aye, taking over. Well, listen, we're looking on and with envious eyes, to be honest, Fergal. I was just thinking about you last night, Fergal, in terms of, I know you've a busy solicitor's practice there, family and life and that. It's just been relentless the last few months. How's life been with you?
Yeah, well, you know what, obviously the week of an All-Ireland final, life's as in one sense as good as it can be, but to be honest, Brent, in the past 6 weeks or so, actually from just back after the Donegal game, which we were lucky to get through in all of the circumstances, and it's the fine margins that can send you forward or send you home, but from about the Ulster final, Brent, it was a fairly chaotic and difficult time, and just, you know, there's no two ways about it. But listen, we're back on track, hopefully, and it's full football from here on, and we're just hopeful that we can present ourselves well this weekend and see how it goes.
And Fergal, obviously the big thing, the heart here, there was going to be, many people thought, maybe a bedding in process. You know, has this exceeded all expectations? Or, you know, looking across, when Fergal, I've spoken to you before, and the Tyrone squad, there was always a great depth a football there. You said a brilliant club championship last year coming in. There looked like there was something simmering in there, but you certainly got the most from that squad. It's been a phenomenal season so far.
Yeah, well, as you know, there's a couple of things. You know, Tyrone, like Donegal, is a big county, and there's a genuine interest in football, and you know, players are, there are good footballers, you know, within the county. So, you know, it has been, obviously, even when you're taking over after someone who served as long as Mickey did, you know, you're anxious yourself as to how things might go and whether there's a natural dip that can happen. But ultimately, as you say, Brenton, and I've heard you say it before, you know, there's a depth of footballer in Tyrone and panel, and you know, it's just been good. It's been worked out well. It's been a cutthroat championship back to our days, kicking around Brenton, and you know, the beauty of it, that is, every time you get a win, half the field falls. So, you know, we've got the last two, so let's just see if we can see if the other half will fall this time, but it's not going to be that easy.
It's set up for a cracker. I think the whole country's infused by it, Fergal, in terms of the, I suppose, the novelty of the pairing after the Dubs' dominance. Fergal, just on the rivalry with Donegal there, you know, I suppose the last few seasons Donegal have had a bit of a thing over Tyrone in terms, I think that league game at the start of this year, I think was maybe the fifth game league and championship maybe that Donegal had won. Was there a bit of a sense there from you in the camp that you had to break that bit of a Donegal hold over Tyrone, get into the championship? That was the first big marker in there.
Yeah, there was a small bit, Brenton. There's no doubt that Donegal have caused a lot of hurt to Tyrone over the years, and we consider ourselves friendly neighbours, and right through all the decades, Donegal has been a very friendly place to everybody in the north here. But you know, I suppose we were anxious that we would lay a marker down at some stage here, and listen, but it'll be up for grabs the next time we're in Ballybuffet or Donegal's in Omagh or we meet elsewhere. Everything's up for grabs every day you go out nowadays. So listen, it's been a healthy rivalry too.
Yeah.
It's got a bit spicy, which is good and bad, because it can be unfortunate sometimes because we're all in it together. But you know, ultimately, you know, we have the utmost respect for Donegal and Tyrone, and we cheered them on and wished them well, and in the All-Ireland successes through the last decade. So, you know, a rising ship lifts the tide, lifts all boats, or whatever they say. You know, the competitive nature of Ulster has stood to us at this stage, and that starts with Donegal, and it's moving. I think other counties in Ulster are on the move again here, so it's going to be a very interesting province for the next couple of years too.
Yeah, definitely, and you're right, Fergal. I think you have raised the bar. You know, the last few years, even though the Ulster Championship's been obviously by far the best provincial, no one was saying there was an All-Ireland contender there, and it devalued it a small bit in terms of, you know, we were having our own championship, but no one can take the big guns out. Whereas now you've put Ulster, I think, back in there, and as you said, with potentially five very strong teams going to the championship next year, Tyrone, without realising, I suppose, have really raised the bar in Ulster, which can only be good for the province.
Yeah, well, that's what it's all about generally, and I hope just that we can give a proper account of ourselves this weekend, and that we raise it a wee bit further, just and reset, because there was a period when we were all playing. You played on a bit longer than me, or a bit younger, Brenton. But certainly in the '90s, there was a bit of a feel to college football, Sigerson football, even, you know, schools football, and Ulster was right at the forefront. So, you know, we wouldn't mind that. I don't want to be too unfair to everywhere else, but listen, there's nothing like your neighbours doing well to spur you on too. So listen, we'd like to see Ulster back competing every year, and at all grades and all levels, right through from schools upwards.
Yeah, and I'd say to Fergal, obviously with Radio Ulster, and I'd be at, like, I was at all your games this year up into the semi when we weren't covering it, you know, and obviously the big interest here, just looking at Tyrone the last few years, you know, I think this year there just seems to be a real spark. You know, players there, like, say, P.D. Hart, Matty Donnelly, you know, McCann, these players, McCurry coming back in, they've just really stepped up to the plate in terms of you're seeing the best from them. And there just seems, you seem to have galvanised a real, real togetherness in the squad there. And you can see it coming through in those tight games, Fergal.
Yeah, sometimes a change is as good as a break. So, you know, it probably did freshen things up, whatever way you look at the transition from Mickey. But the bottom line is this, Brenton, and you know it too. These guys commit their lives to this, to football, and they're very ambitious, and they're very diligent, and they're good footballers. So, you know, they're up for it, and obviously when you get a good win like we got against Donegal, it brings the thing a bit tighter and brings it a bit closer and moves it on. So, you know, we've benefited from that. You know, the benefit of getting over a first round, as we all know, was a tricky one, and you know, we got over Cavan and with a wee bit to spur, and then you know, Donegal was a big one for us, and then, you know, that builds a panel, it builds a team, and it builds confidence, and it builds togetherness, and you know, it's just kept building. Listen, they've confounded us, they've confounded myself and Brian the last day in how they went about their business against the whole backdrop of things, and Kerry are a serious football team, so, you know, long may it continue.
Yeah, and just on those last couple of games, the Ulster final, obviously, you know, kick a ball in it, draw with Kerry, you've won the match. Is that one of the greatest, I suppose, elements to your armoury now going into this final, Fergal? That, I suppose, composure and that thing, you've seen it with the Dubs a lot, you know, in tight games, I suppose, with the likes of Mayo in particular. You always felt that they didn't mind that. They're in a fight, and they're composed. Is that, I suppose, one of the best things that's come through from those teams in those tight games with
yeah,
Monaghan and Kerry?
Well, possession is king nowadays, you know. It was thrown away a wee bit easier back in our day, and a good bit easier well before that, when you just hoofed it up the field. But we really have evolved into possession is king now. You want a bit of risk and reward, and you know, the bottom line is they're experienced footballers and they're able to manage the ball well. You know, the old cornerback who just got it and blinged it is well out of the game, so everybody's able to manage the ball well, and there are phases, of course, we'd love none of it when you're hand passing across the arc to try and keep possession and stuff, but it's there, and it's we'll not trace its origins back to Donegal either. But it's there, and you know, there are phases of play for that, and it's so specialist now, and there's so many angles, and there's so much analysis, and there are phases of play and stuff. You know, it's scary how detailed it has got. But, you know, our fellas, hopefully to date, have been able to manage the ball when they need to. And, you know, but you still got to penetrate and you got to score, and that's what it's all about, and that's what people want to see. So it's a matter of mixing it all in, and you know, I suppose you just got to go for broke.
Yeah, and Fergal, you talk about possession there. You did give away kickouts, the Kerry kickout the last day. It was an interesting strategy. It was a brave one. And I suppose that comes back to Fergal, being I suppose, confident that your own defence, when they're faced with attacks, and have enough ability to turn over the ball. Obviously, supremely marshalled by the likes of Hampsey and McNamee, and these guys are first class. But everybody dropping in, I mean, some of the work rate that's going on by players all around the pitch, you know, McGeary, McKiernan, they just seem to be everywhere. I mean, Myler did game of his life the last day. So all these players now are fitting into that type of strategy. Virgil, we'd never seen that done in a long time, and we thought that it would backfire, but in the end, you know, we still came through the game.
Yeah, well, not always all of it's planned out there at times, but, you know, subconsciously we had come out of Killarney with a fair chastening, and maybe subconsciously there was a small field to sort of protecting the house against a goal onslaught, because everybody has witnessed Kerry's goal threat this year, and you know, you'd have been proud of some of those goals in your day, Brenton, when you used to just put the head down and run for goal, you know. You rarely stood back and tipped it over the bar, you know. And there's a feel to those Kerry forwards and some of these Mayo guys too, that listen, if the net's anywhere available, get at it. So, you know, maybe subconsciously there was some of that too, where players were just a wee bit anxious after what we had all gone through.
Yeah, and Fergal, I suppose from anybody that's listening, no matter what level of GAA you've played at, it's always dangerous to hammer a team early in the league and then play them in the championship. You see that across all types of grades, because the team that's got the beating obviously learns so much from it. The other team then goes in. Kerry were obviously a bit overhyped, and I think maybe yous were a bit underhyped, Fergal. Is managing that now the other way round the key, one of the things for Tyrone now, because the hype machine has gone full throttle now around Tyrone, is trying to get that balance right, I suppose, and keep the lads away from all the hype. It's a big job.
Yeah, no, of course it is, and there's so much goes on nowadays. But I think in the early days of the back door, they had to realign it to make sure that you didn't meet a team you'd beaten 3 weeks previously, and it was only in the latter stages you could, because, you know, there's nothing all of us love more than a cause or a chip on the shoulder, or the most balanced of us, two chips, one on each shoulder. So they had to realign the back door for that purpose, because it's a slightly unfair, because there's nothing like complacency is probably the hardest thing to deal with in all sports, and with teams, and you know, a team does raise itself when it's you know, we all love a go the next day when you have a defeat. You'd love to go at it again the next day with them, and you back yourself to win. So it is a difficult one, but you know, it's just the way it worked out this year. It's just one of those things, and you know, we'll see. Hopefully on Saturday we'll get a good free flowing game and a good competitive game and see what happens.
Yes indeed. And Fergal, I suppose from Tyrone perspective, you know, you seem to like playing Kerry and Crow Park in the championship. I know it seems to bring the best out of Tyrone. Sometimes teams have that thing with other sides, but Mayo themselves, they're not afraid of playing Tyrone and mixing it other, you know, in the last few seasons. I know a lot of it has been league, but you know, some of the performances, they've gone more in Mayo's direction. Is there anything to be read into that?
Yeah, well, the read into it that Kerry or Mayo are a serious football team, and they have serious athleticism, as we all know over the years, and they have serious footballers, and they're able to penetrate and hurt, and you know, they haven't been knocking about finals and semi-finals for a decade here for no reason. So we have a massive challenge. They're rightly favourites for Saturday evening's game, and you know, we're just going to have to see where we can get to. But listen, they're a serious team, and they have certainly with Tyrone, you know, they've come out the right end of a couple of big results too, and so listen, it's all to play for on both sides of it, so we're just looking forward to it.
You just never know what you're going to get with Mayo, Willer. Fergal, the word is now that the Owen McLaughlin's back training now. Willer, what part he plays, it would just be great, I think, for him to be involved after that horrific injury. Young Ossie Mullins back jogging, whether he can make it or not remains to be seen, Fergal. So tactics on the day, you're going along with this kick out again, or you're keeping your cards close to your chest, or as the Mayo man, you're going to come up with something, a surprise to keep them on edge?
Well, listen, I'll catch up with you some night in Downey's over the winter, and I'll have a good chat with you about the tactics printing that night.
Of course. Fergal, listen, I suppose after all that we've been through this last lockdowns and pandemics and that, listen, you've obviously created a serious, serious buzz in Tyrone there, and I suppose from that side of things, Fergal, it must be pleasing that people have this outlet of sport and back to Crow Park for the ultimate day. That I suppose already, I know you're going in, listen, you're going in to win it, you've won more game, but already I suppose has created a great spirit within the county.
Ah, yeah, Brenton, listen, in the end of the day, we have to keep sport in its context, and we all live and die by it a wee bit when you're involved in it, and in particular high-end sport. But listen, the whole island of Ireland and the whole world has suffered under a public health emergency this past 18 months, and it's more than great that people are able to go out again and have the crack and go to matches and all that. We're not quite fully there yet, but listen, the signs are good, and listen, it's just great from that perspective. When you look at the bigger picture, Brenton, it's brilliant, and there is some comfort and joy in that, but as you know yourself, when you're involved, there's only one thought process that prevails. Yeah. But it is great, and there's half capacity, and All Ireland Final Day means so much to people traditionally over the years, and ultimately to both semi-finals went to the wire, both went to extra time, and people want to see good, hearty, manly football, and they got that in the two semi-finals, and then the ladies in Croker yesterday too. So listen, it's all good from that perspective, but I just wouldn't want to be sitting a week on trying to put my brain around that if Tyrone lose, but anyway, we'll see how it goes.
Well, listen, Virgil, I hope that doesn't happen, and as you said, Virgil, we're all intertwined, particularly in this part of the county, with Tyrone, and you're a man that has a great love for Downings, Virgil, so it'd be fantastic to catch up with you when this is all done and dusted. You might even bring the Sam down.
Well, I'm not sure what his travel plans are, number one, but two, with the health emergency, there may be some issues there, but listen, we'll certainly be back up around.
We'll put it in a glass box and put it so.
Well, let's see where it all leads to, but listen, it's good to be up and at it, and we're looking forward to it, and hopefully everybody will enjoy it and see where it gets to.
Well, listen, Virgil, it's a fantastic story you've been on this year, and listen, as I said previously, the novel A Pairing of Hughes and Mayo, everybody thought it was Kerry who's going to have to put it up to Dubs, none of them are in there, it's Tyrone and Mayo. On behalf of all us Donegal crew, we want to wish you all the best in the final, Virgil, and we'll catch up with you after.
Yeah, thanks very much, Bren.
Yeah, great catching up with Virgil Logan there as the sights prepares for the All-Ireland final, and now I'm talking to our main man in the Donegal hot seat. He's just got a 2-year extension to the senior county job. It is Declan Boner. Declan, how are you this evening?
Good, not so bad, Bren. Not so bad at all now.
Declan, everyone was wondering what was going to happen next. You went for the job again, which is fantastic news, unchallenged. I'm not surprised, Declan. I think there's two points to that. There's probably one where we don't have a clamber of people that would be able to do the job, Declan. And secondly, I think when you're in there, just the experience you've gained between you're playing and you've been county manager twice and everything you've done at underage, I think that was enough for people to say, right, Declan deserves another tilt at this job.
Listen, Bren, yeah, and it took time to reflect on what went on over the last 12 months and over the last 4 years, basically, and it's huge time investments, no doubt. So sat down with people. With the family and people close to me, and the players, and see what was the best. If the hunger wasn't there, I wouldn't have went back in. But that appetite, and that hunger, and that desire, still there. And Donegal football has been a huge part of me for a huge number of years now. And what's that drive and ambition still there to take Donegal to probably a better place, hopefully, in 2022.
Yeah, fantastic to hear you saying that, Dick. I'm glad you're back on board. Tell me, our neighbours we run there, the Ireland, the fact that we've had the measure of them the last few years up into this year's championship, which went against us for different reasons, did that have any wee small part in you thinking, listen, we're not far away?
Listen, Brent, suppose looking at it, and Tyrone have done brilliantly, and that game against Kerry, outstanding, and people. A lot of people had them written off, but they showed real hearts, real desire, and deservedly could put over the line and set them up nicely for a huge match to begin All Ireland final against Mayo. And with that match and Brewster, it's difficult to take a championship defeat. Bren, we've all been there as players, and I've been there now as manager. It's not easy, those championship defeats, but we're not that far away. We know that on that given day things went against us, and we talked, for a long period, and that game we done reasonably well, and 2 points up and supposed to penalty miss, and then descending off had a huge bearing on the game. But listen, Tyrone took advantage, and as I said, they won their Ulster title and are now in the All Ireland, or 70 odd minutes away from the All Ireland title.
Yeah, and Dick, just looking at it now in terms of our squad, obviously You know, Patton is top class keeper. He's one of the best in the country. Kind of a lot of the newer players we've unearthed have been kind of from the midfield up the pitch, you know, more kind of attack minded players. Do you see enough there, Dick, that we can get that kind of solidity in our defence? Obviously, Neil's been hanging on in there and has just kept soldiering on for us. You know, different players have been in and out. McCall around the full back line. Owen McHugh has come back in doing man marking. The likes of Brennan's been in and out. Do you think that, Dick, and we can create that back six that we can get into that form where we are difficult to break down?
Yeah, I think so. It's always a balancing act, to be quite honest, and we do have an awful lot of players that are very good on the ball and you know, want to get on the ball, which is brilliant. And but we do need that type of defender. And you know, it's probably more difficult, as I say. You know, I've watched a lot of games, and even on the underage games coming through, we just need to unearth a few more defenders. We do know that there, and it'll be another challenge for us. And you know, the club championship starts now shortly, and we'll keep an eye on what's going on there. That door's always open for those type of players, and we'll always keep that, as I say, keep that door open for any player that's shown form or that's shown. It's an area that we're definitely looking at. And again, I say it's a balance and getting that defensive end of it right along with our attacking element. So there's a bit of work to be done.
Good man. And Dick, your backroom team, you haven't announced them yet. Is that's in process at the minute?
Yeah, listen, the appointment only came through last week, so it was really nothing that could have been done, and I've been away all week, only got back there yesterday. So yeah, this week now I'll be taking up with trying over the next week, 2 weeks, to get the backroom team sorted, and I have to sit down with the county executive and go through that. And so probably there will be a number of changes, but as I say, we'll, by the end of this week and maybe going into next week, we'll know more.
Yeah, huge commitment, as you said, Dick. And listen, I think everybody needs to realise that, along with everything you've done over the years for Donegal, to be taking this team forward. And great to hear the attitude there for Dick. Just looking at the Dáil Éireann final, have you a tip for us? Where's your head telling you the title is going to land?
Yeah, it's a very, very difficult one to call, to be quite honest. It's going to be a fascinating. Yeah, no one probably predicted that we're all looking at a Dublin Kerry final, but. You know, yeah. In fairness to Mayo, again, both games went to extra time, and Mayo came out on top strongly against Dublin. Again, the third with an extra time on their second half showing to beat Dublin. So it's going to be an interesting final. There's no doubt about that. They're very difficult to call, to be quite honest.
I'm just thinking most of us will be sitting watching the game, you know, enjoying it. Will you have the notepad out making notes? Is that how you look at games again? Now, are you watching them completely tactically, or will you just take it in as it is?
Every game you watch now, whether it's the ladies' football, whether it's inter-county football, whether it's rugby, whether it's soccer, you're always looking at different things and different angles. But it'll be no different that next weekend. But listen, looking forward to it. And, you know, those are the days, and that's the days we want to get back to be quite honest. And as you say, that work has already started for us now. But I think overall, Brendan, you know, looking at Donegal football, I think Donegal football is not in a bad place. I think there's been huge progress made. You know, it's great to see Conway up and running now and looking really good. You know, the academy's been set up now under Carol Lacey, and that's so important for the future of Donegal. And getting those right people, getting the coaches in there, right across the board. But to sustain that, Brendan, if you look at what's been invested in counties like Cork and Offaly and Kerry and Dublin and Mayo and Tyrone, I mean, we've got to make sure that we're going to be at that level. That doesn't guarantee that you're going to be winning Ulster every year or getting to All-Ireland finals, but it's going to leave you in a real chance of being really, really competitive. Otherwise, you know, it wouldn't be long before you started to drop down through the league. So we've got to be very, very careful now. We've got to make sure that those structures are in place and that they are sustainable moving forward from a Donegal GAA point of view.
Yeah, listen, fantastic stuff, Declan. Well rounded up there. And sure, listen, those are the days we want to get back to. You get another wee Declan Bunner fist pump. Who could forget it? 92, Declan. They're the days that we want to see again. Listen, Declan, thanks so much for joining us this evening on the DL Debate, and good luck for the season ahead.
Okay, thanks, Brendan.
Thanks, Dick. Yes, hearing from Declan Bunner there and his plans for the up-and-coming season and season after that. He's got a new two-year term. We have a county chairman on now, Mick McGrath, just to talk about that process and the management that's coming in place now this season. Mick, how are you this evening?
I'm good, Brendan. Hope you're keeping well yourself.
Keeping the very best. Hey, you're all go at the minute, Mick. You got Declan and Ratified. I know you had a great working relationship with Declan this last couple of seasons, Mick. So fantastic to have him on board again.
Yeah, I think that sometimes he doesn't get the credit he's due, and there's been unfortunate incident, I suppose, in a few moments in this year's championship in the Tyrone game, and look at what's evolved after that. We're not far away. We're still in the top Division 1 and in the top half a dozen teams in the country, so it's to try to get things to improve. I suppose we're going back in. And I suppose the other thing that was very, very evident in the last few weeks when discussions were going on was that there is not an awful lot of people willing to let their name go forward to take on these challenges, not alone just at management, but even in the back room and working with the lifestyle that's required now to work with county players. It's a full-time job, Brendan, as you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Mick. This thing of who's going to take the job, the actual commitment is so huge. And if someone with Bonner's capability and there, obviously everything he's done in management and that, you know, I think that's probably one of the reasons why it wasn't contested in terms of his CV. If he wanted it nearly, he definitely deserved it. And even for him himself, Mick, to come back and throw his lot in. As you said there, it is a serious, serious commitment. But talking to Declan, like, he still has that drive and ambition. So, you know, we're lucky in so many ways to have him back on board. And he will build a management team in behind him now that'll hopefully take the team on again.
Well, we still have a good, very good squad of players. And I think that there will be tweaking with that. Which there normally is, you know, you have the basis of your top 20 players, and you have a group of players then that are either, you know, struggling with injuries, guys that are just not hitting form, and guys that are coming into the panel. So you have another 10 or 12, you know, in after that. So the development squad as well brought in last year, which was a very good idea, and it'll be discussed with the executive in the forthcoming week or 10 days, and to see if that's going to continue or not. And I would hope it will, but you know, you certainly need to be working in the squad for up to 18 months, maybe 2 years before you even get into the team. That's the standard that's there at the moment. And you're always going to have niggly injuries and a few suspensions and one thing and another that occurs, you know, as your season progresses. But you do certainly need everything going right for you to make things happen right.
Yes. And Mick, how does the process work there in terms of, say, your senior manager, you're under 21, you're underage, you're hurling? Do they come and I suppose give a report on the year that went previous and then look for the new term, or does those things happen apart, or how does the process work?
No, the process is fairly well established in our county, and it's similar in most counties, I think, the county committee will either appoint a selected group of people to go and search out people that might maybe have interest in the position, interview them, see if they've got the skills, the qualities and the experience to take on the role. And there will be a term there, and they will be reviewed at the end of each year. And at senior football level, we have the manager has to come in and report to the county committee, which is a daunting enough task. But look, with the way things are in the modern communication days, you know, there's not much happening out there that people aren't aware of anyway. With the minor and the under 20, the clubs are you seek nominations from the clubs, and you interview the people, and you appoint the person that you feel is the best you know, qualified at the time to the interview, and there is something that we've been knitting in over the past number of years, which is we're trying to knit a conveyor belt, really, from under 14 right through the senior, and we found that quite difficult to put in place because there were so many pieces of the jigsaw that was required. And with Carl Lacey coming in now to work with the academy, and he's done tremendous work at 14s, 15s and 16s, and, you know, the parents and the club coaches that have been down there seeing what he's doing nice and quietly, to put something in place that we can actually get, you know, in a progression to show to young lads of that age what's required if you want to become a county player. You know, if you want to one day play for wear the county colours, you know, what do you need to do at this stage of your life? And it is at that age you've got to really start sowing the seeds. At minor level and at under 17, we'd Luke Barrett in there managing this year, and got to an Ulster final and met a very good Tyrone team who I was surprised didn't win the All-Ireland minor final last week, but that's the way it goes. And then on the 20 level with Gary Duffy and Gary had Eamon McGee and Leo McLoon working with him as well. So, I mean, that's the important link that was missing. Maybe some of the county players that have retired, you know, not coming back in and doing their apprenticeship at an underage level, working their coaching levels up, and hopefully ending up being, you know, working with the senior team to pass on. I'm a great believer that at senior level, if you haven't been over that white line of senior championship, it's very difficult to manage from that white line. Mm. You know, there is a tremendous amount of pressure and stress and strains come on. You were there yourself, Brendan, you know all about it, and at different times of the year, frustrations with players that aren't hitting form, niggly injuries that's annoying them, you know, the whole psychology of getting their heads right and getting the physical side of things right. So all of that needs a vast amount of skill and a vast amount of work, and you know, to have all that in place is just not as simple as boys picking a team when they're sitting down around the television some night. But you know, it's a whole involvement of a lot of people involved and a huge commitment, and without a doubt the players are the most committed of the lot, like, you know, and there's a great bunch of lads there at the moment, and I think that they're hungry to get going again. They're back with their clubs now for the next 5 or 6 weeks, and whichever few clubs go on to the county semi-finals and finals, but the majority of them will be concluding their championship after four rounds. You know, the majority of them go out in at the quarter-final stage, and so it's a continuous time for an inter-county player at that level. He's between his club and his county and his commitment to training, and the type of training and strength and conditioning that they have to do nowadays to tone them to the level that's required is a very high standard, and there's no hiding places anymore. You know, there's plenty of evidence that can be found if the guys are doing it right or not doing it, and there's a lot of people working behind the scenes to make sure of that as well. And there's a silent group of people working behind the scenes, you know, that you don't even hear of. You wonder what are they all doing. But I mean, I myself have questioned what they're all doing at times, but they are.
Well, you fairly make up for the silent ones, don't we?
Well, I do. I'm not talking a few words to friend, and I suppose both of us were blessed with it.
We are. I deserve that back, Mike. I'll deserve that back. Mike, just what you said there, I think, is very important around not just the ex-players, but I think because we had so much success, particularly under those gym years, that those players, you know, that have went all the way in terms of, you know, winning our second All-Ireland, and you mentioned obviously Carl's involved in the structures there, you know, Eamon and Leo involved this year, Roy Cavanagh's in charge of unions, Cass is involved down, his great experience as well is involved obviously down with Goodore. So those types of players coming through, Mike, it seems like it's happening a small bit late, but they take up the mantle after Declan, and they've evolved underage to get that bit of experience, a bit like what Declan did, going back underage and coming back in. I suppose that seems to be the trajectory a lot of counties are doing, you know, getting these lads involved, getting bits of experience, senior club, underage, and then taking them in ultimately for the big job.
Well, I would count Mayo, Kerry, and Tyrone, and Dublin as the top four teams in the country, and the one common denominator that they've got, and which we must not be afraid to challenge either, is that all their managers and all their coaches are from their own counties. They don't bring the people in from other counties. So we have to ask the question, I suppose, and we have been asking the question: why are we always seeking people from other counties to come in to help us out? And the standard wasn't there, so we have to bring that standard up. And the point I made about being on the white line, the former county players that have got the time and are willing to take on that challenge, we have to make the facilities available, you know, of giving them the coaching education and the qualifications that they need at coaching, and that has to be put in place a lot stronger, I think, in our county. And we can't point the finger at anybody else. That is something that we have to do as a county, and that's what we're trying to do. And I admire and commend those that are letting our names go forward at the moment.
Yeah, fantastic. And Mick, just finally, the 2020 Championship, Mick, could you just update us on where it's at now and where it ends up with, and who decides on it, and how we can get to a resolution?
Well, there's due process in all of this, and it's there is an objection that has been dealt with by the CCC within Donegal, and that then was appealed. So it's gone to Ulster. There was a technicality flaw found with it within Ulster, which has now been sent back to Donegal. And that's where it is. But it would be very wrong of me to comment in any way publicly on something that is currently going sure. through due process. And it would be wise for me to not avoid answering the question, but to just say that while there's due process going on, it would be wrong of me to
that's
comment.
Fine. So it's back with the county board at the moment, and they're going to meet on that, and there'll be an outcome of that. Is there a time frame on that, Mick?
Our county secretary is taking a rewarded week off.
Right,
normally to get out of the county.
Sure, everybody needs that.
Yeah, we have three or four people on holidays at the moment, and he's one of them, and he'll be back towards the end of the week, and we'll certainly discuss it then, and we'll probably bring the executive together to look at what's the next stage. But as the due process going on, it would be very wrong of me to discuss it any further.
No, not at all, Mick. Listen, and thanks for the update, and keep up the good work there, Mick. We're looking forward now, obviously, to the club championship ahead, and I'm going to be speaking to Gary McDade next on that to get his points of view. But for now, Mick, thanks for joining us on the DL Debate.
Look after yourself, Brendan. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Thank you, sir. That was Mick McGrath there, county chairman, giving us his update on this lingering saga of 2020, but a man is going to give us an update on 2021, not only the senior championship, but the intermediate and the junior, is the one and only former Glen Swally triple winning manager Gary McDade, and he joins us this evening. How are you, Gary?
Good, Brent, thanks very much. I'm looking forward to the whole round of club championship throwing in next weekend.
I feel we might have to put a bit of pizzazz on it here, Gary, you know, because of the spectre of the 2020 and all that's gone on with it seems to be just rolling on. It's kind of left this championship with not a lot of people are talking about it because this other one's hanging over us.
Yeah, and the way it's going, Brendan, I would say it'll be hanging over us another while. You know, it's obviously gone now that Glenty's won the appeal at the weekend, so it seems to be that was, of course, up at Ulster, and it seems to be now back with the Donegal board at the minute, so it does, and I can see it, Brendan, going on and on like this for a long time. I would say the 2020 championship won't be played until the 2021 championship is completed, and that you're probably looking at realistically, I think, 2022.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mess, Gary. As you say, Niamh Connell have come up with some technicality now around the evidence that was originally put up. So this has put it back to our own county board. They yet have to meet and assess the situation. So maybe we should just park it for now, Gary, because it's going to rumble on for a while.
Yeah, and it's probably going to leave a very sour taste, Brendan, in both clubs' mouths as well. No doubt from talking to a lot of neutrals over the last week or so, what they would all love now is Glenties and Kilcar to meet in the third or fourth round of the group. Just, they reckon it'll be a tasty affair.
Yeah. Okay, just on that one wee point, should it be a thing where Kilcar have to object in this situation? Should it not be if the rules are broken, then there's an automatic process? Because I think that in itself maybe leads to the bad taste around it's Kilcar then that are objecting against a situation. Should it not just be if rules were breached that should happen automatically by those who are organising the game?
Yeah, but in the GA there's so many bodies of appeal that you can go to and listen. I've been involved in appeal processes before as well, and it can drag on and you can go the whole way. You know, your final call in is a DRA, so it is, and I can actually see this possibly going the whole way to the DRA, Brian. You know, after they're finished in Donegal again, it'll go back to Ulster, it'll go then to the first body and headquarters, so it'll in Croke Park. I'm not sure the exact names of each of the bodies up there, but there's at least two before it would go to the DRA then.
Yeah. I know it's going to drag on, but what I mean is the actual situation itself. Gary, when you're on about creating bad blood between, we've seen it with clubs over the years, should it not be that that our own, whoever's officiating the game, the county board, whoever's setting it up, that if rules are shown to be broken, that they just take up and try and sort it out, rather than it being Kilcar now that have to put in an objection, and it's as if the two clubs are teasing this out or fighting it out or whatever you want to call it. Should it not be that whoever's in charge of the game controls that if there's a breach of the rules, that there's an automatic process in place?
I said it's a very good point. So it was, and it would stop it right away. But then suppose if you feel that you're unfairly done by as well, you feel that you have nothing to fight against, then, you know, obviously if you're unhappy with the decision, like one of these teams is going to be unhappy with the decision either way, and they're going to fight it to the very end. That's the way I can see it. But yeah, it's a valid point that you have.
Yeah, and swinging into this championship, Gary, before we get down to the initial fixtures, again, you know, we keep talking about the big four. It doesn't look, in terms of the league form that we've seen from a lot of teams, in terms of where the championship will go. I know probably outside of maybe Gweedore, maybe haven't been putting their best foot forward just yet, but certainly when it comes to championship, Gary, do you see anybody knocking on the door of those four sides in terms of where the Dr. Maguire will end up this season?
You know, it's funny, you know, I've been thinking about it long and hard, and probably the last couple of years I would have saw no one whatsoever touch those four as an even breaking into that four. I feel, Brendan, and you can mark it down there now, it's the 6th of September. I feel this year there could be one of those four could be maybe fall to the wayside and let maybe some of the teams outside of that there make the breakthrough into that four. I don't think there's anyone outside of that four who can make the breakthrough to go the whole way and win it, but I definitely think there's a vulnerability there, possibly maybe that we've seen this year. If you look at league form, it maybe hasn't, those teams have been very consistent in the league, all of them year on year. Maybe it hasn't always, some of them haven't always been as consistent this year. So that I think there's maybe a vulnerability there. I think from looking at what I've seen in league football this year, I know it's completely different animal now because it comes into the weekend, so it is. But, you know, it's all we have to base our first analysis on going into the first round this weekend. But I think looking at it, you know, from looking at the teams, the big four, you know, after, especially after watching the county final, Brendan, you know, I came out of that county final thinking that nearly, or I was going into that county final nearly thinking that Glentys were an unstoppable machine and nothing could stop them. And I thought Kilcar, you know, wouldn't be far behind them. I came out of there thinking, you know, Unions and Gweedore, and particularly Unions, would be very happy with what they saw that night, as in they would think that both of those teams are very, very beatable. And to me, I think Unions beat by a goal. If you remember last year, Brendan, that controversial goal in the semi-final and an extra time, they're probably the team that I think are behind, on, just floating along nicely. League form's been quite good as well, so it has. And they're beat by a goal in extra time last year, and they're probably thinking, you know, there's a lot of hurt probably there. They probably feel that they were robbed by a controversial decision as well. And they look then at Glentys going on to win it this year and to do the back-to-back that they called it at the time, and them looking for a three in a row. I think they could be the team that's out to spoil the party.
Yeah, interesting stuff. You know, McCool's put in a great performance last year, Gary, down in Gweedore in the championship. They certainly went down fighting. They're opening up the championship on Friday night, v St Michael. So it was a positive end of the season for them in terms of the performance they gave last year.
Yeah, really good. You know, they were in the verge. They ran Gweedore right to the end, Brent. We were in that game last year down in Marragallen, and like they could have beaten that day. And Gweedore were going really well last year, maybe compared to where they're at the minute. I think it's a fantastic idea again to open the championship with a game under lights. So it is on Friday night. What a way to open the championship! Friday night lights. I mean, let's get it going here. And in McCool Park, I think both clubs have to be accredited for agreeing to play Friday night. Last year we had a lot of Friday night games as well. I think it's makes a festival of football, Brendan, over the weekend. This is our jewel in the crown. The Dr. Maguire's our jewel in the crown for Donegal Club football. We have to make sure it's marketed right. We have to make sure it's sold right. We have to provide opportunities for people to be able to view these games, whether it's online or live throughout the day, and therefore they have to be spread out to allow people to get to games, because there's a massive hunger and appetite out there for football at the minute, because you know, because of the lockdown situation, people haven't got in to see football very much in the last year and a half.
Yeah. Listen, it's great, you know, just talking to Fergal Logan earlier, just to, I suppose, after all that, the buzz that they've created in Tyrone, you know, we can only look on with jealous eyes, but as you said, all eyes turn into your own championship now. Obviously Killy Beggs on the Saturday, playing your own men, Glen Swilly, Gweedore and Milford. Gary, do you know what way the streaming's working then? Is there going to be certain games that are streamed and that'll be promoted out there by the county board?
No, I'm not 100% sure, but I think a lot of it had done to the clubs if they want to stream their own games in the first round and second round, you know, the group phase. I think it's up to them, and then probably the county board will come in after that and kick off in with quarterfinals, etc. So I think you'll see a lot of clubs given the opportunities, are providing opportunities this weekend for that, therefore the streaming of the games. I mean, like, there's huge opportunities, marketing opportunities for clubs to get themselves on the map. The feedback was brilliant last year. There's people in England and America and people from those clubs were able to tune in and watch their own team. Like, it was such a great thing for those people. They was able to get that wee connection again with home, you know.
Yeah, and just talking with your Glenn Swilly, can we read anything in that victory over that famous goal and that victory over Guidoor with Michael Murphy in there? Is there a sting in the Glenn men? Should people be wary of them?
Listen, they probably played really well that day, and it was their best performance off the season, so it was by far. I've seen quite a few of the games this year, and listen, Unions came out and brought us quickly back down to earth the week afterwards, you know, especially in the last quarter. They really put us to the sword and beat as well. Granted, maybe we didn't have the strength of the team out that we had against Guidoor the week before, but get into the Killybegs game, it's probably both teams are looking at it as a 50-50 game, you know, and Killybegs are probably looking at it maybe even a 60-40 game in their favour, that they have home advantage. You know, when we went over there first game of the league this year, Brendan, and they give us a good hole out the gate, so they did. So listen, you know, they're going to be getting in with their tails up, and they'll expect to get the points on the board, because it's a favourable draw for Peel. Probably it edges slightly to Killybegs that they have home advantage going into that game.
Yeah. Ardran Bundoran's the other one. I'm just looking across the championship now as it kicks off, and as you said, Gary, it's early doors, and you know, it'll take a while because a lot of teams have been playing without county players, and different things have been happening, I suppose, for the championship to kind of bed in, you know. I'm just looking at one, the second day, Niamh Connell play Glenfinnan, their first day out, and Niamh Connell then play Éireann. That's a big game for Éireann, back in senior championship versus Niamh Connell.
Yeah, and from my understanding, Bryn, the way the senior champs are going this weekend, there's four games this weekend and four the following weekend. Killybegs are it's all thrown in on Friday night with McCool's and St Michael's, and then there's no games on Saturday in senior champ because the All-Ireland's on. And then on Sunday at 1:30, Killybegs play the Glen and Killybegs, and at 3:00, Ardragh play Bundoran. And then the last game of the day is Guidoor and Mulford. So it is, I think it's an evening, maybe an evening throw in
half five.
As far as I'm aware, Brendan, that's the four games this weekend. And the other four games that you mentioned there are the following weekend. So they are. So, you know, it probably gives it, I think clubs have the option because of the handling, because of the 2020 final. That's why there was two put back. And I think, you know, it was given to clubs, if both clubs were happy enough, they could put it back a week then. So that's probably worked out well. It's given us plenty in the media side of it to talk about now in the lead up. We have four senior games this weekend, four the following weekend. You know, Ardra and Bundoran's probably another one that's a real 50-50 game as well. Bundoran were probably being talked about last year as maybe number five or number six. Them and St Michael's were always pupped alongside each other. So they're probably be looking to go to Ardra and follow up that championship form last year. They probably didn't have the form that they had in the league to back it up. And, you know, St Michael's, McCool's as well on the Friday night. St Michael's league form has been patchy as well. They've won some games convincingly and got badly beaten in other games. McCool's probably go with the form they had last year. Joe McKelvey has left the management team there now, so it's Paul Rouse on his own. They were making a formidable team last year. And then you're getting into Sunday evening, then Guidoor and Mulford. And, you know, Guidoor will be looking to get the ball moving there with a homework one against the neighbours Mulford.
Yeah, that's right. We'll see the influence of the new management, and of course Maxie Kern down in coaching Guidoor as well. Gary, good man. Gary, just on the intermediate championship there, we're Dunlow have dropped down obviously to that level. We have Convoy have come up in it, and then you have, of course, Clonmacnoise, who have lost the last two finals, and a lot of interesting teams coming into that. You know, it's a much more even set championship, and it's really up for grabs.
Yeah, and it's brilliant game, Brendan. Friday night, we have two games of Friday night, so all the people that are supposed to the management teams and supporters that are involved in the intermediate, Buncrana and Bort are throwing in Friday night under light, so they are, I think it's 8:00, and Naevora are playing Red Hughes under lights down in the banks as well. I think it might be even a 8:30 on Friday night. So it's great as well. There's options there for people. So we've probably, you know, we have a game in Balfour, a game in Buchanan, and a game in the Lower Rosses on Friday night. So there's plenty of options for people to go and watch football under lights to get the championships thrown in different parts of the county. But Dunloe probably, you know, it hurt them a lot last year, getting relegated, and they have a home game now against Neve Breed on Sunday, so they have like, and they'll be looking to get the points on the board early, and probably fan it after losing that relegation playoff, or sorry, the promotion playoff yesterday, by a point after extra time. Bryn, I'd be interested to see what way they react now. They have a big game against Convoy in Convoy this weekend on the Sunday, so they have at 2 o'clock. So, you know, will their heads be down? Did they? I'm sure they had their sights really sought in that promotion to Division 2. They've been 5 years in Division 3. Ian McAteer and Barry Meehan will be looking for a reaction from them. Convoy, of course, the junior winners last year. We were in Balbuffet at that game. They beat Downings in the final. It's their first year up in intermediate. So it's going to be a tight tussle there. And then you have Niamh Alton and Mallon. A long journey for the Mallon boys, Bryn, the whole way down to Dunkaneely, so it is. Niamh Alton, of course, just had their status against your own club, Newton, the week before. They reserved their status, so they did. So with Newton going to junior, they're probably, confidence is high there in the Niamh Alton camp, so it is at the minute. So Mallon's form has been patching the league as well. You didn't expect Mallon there with Niamh Alton to get the home one with the long journey for Mallon going the way to the south of the county. So Clonmacnoise then probably have been the bridesmaid in the last two years, so they have beaten in the last two finals. Home game against Neave Columba, so it won't be easy for the Neave Columba boys too. Long old journey coming in for them. You'd expect, you know, Clonmacnoise, they're just going to want to hit the ground running, so they are, and you know, they're probably in a very tough group as well, and you know, it's going to be a big ask for Neave Columba to get anything off them down there, and you just can't see it happening.
Yes, good. Have you got a favourite in that championship? You want to tip and put forward?
You know, it's hard to look past Clonmacnoise, but interestingly, you know, as a dark horse, I would nearly go for Buchanan. Bryn, they won 9 from 9 in the Division 3 league. No one touched them in that league, so they did. Granted, I know that it's Division 3 bank. That's brilliant about Donegal football, that your league form doesn't correspond with your championship form. You know, we have teams in Division 3 there playing intermediate, and then we have teams like Clonmacnoise in Division 1 playing intermediate as well. I think it's great that the two competitions are completely separate.
Yeah. And Gary, just on the junior championship there, I said Union's the first year of a fourth team in it. Creating a bit of a derby. They'll be lining up later Kenny Gales, which will be an interesting championship. They just recently got promoted themselves, as you said, they're to Division 2. Anthony McFadden in the background there, putting his expertise into their setup, and Gales are on the up.
Yeah, and as you said, four teams, Bryn. We might see you talking out yourself this weekend with four teams out in championship, you know. Well, I suppose the seniors and reserves are not out to the following week, so you might escape.
You have me playing for a few clubs already, seeing that you're...
it's great to see. I think what Unions have done there is brilliant, because always teaching here in the college, they're always talking about the amount of players they lose every year after, especially after they leave school and go on to college, you know, and it's a huge opportunity for them that they have that fourth team. And Peter McGeehan seems to be looking after that team from what I see, and they seem to be very closely linked. So hopefully for them, for themselves, that they're able to hold it together. Because I think they tried this a few years ago, I remember, Bryn, and they only did it for the 1 year and it fell to the wayside. So hopefully for themselves, that they're able to keep the four teams going and keep and build on it next year. The first year is always the hardest. You can get through the first year and build on the year after that. So they're home to Robert Emmons. They'll be looking to get the ball rolling there with a home one. So they will. And then you have Downings. So you have against Oras then, you know, Downings beating that Junior A final last year, Bryn, that we were at against Convoy. That you would expect them to get the home one there. Now, Ross have shown great form in the league. So they have Movala, team I probably fancy is a dark horse for the Junior Championship this year. That's probably going to be the game of the weekend in the Junior Championship. Narasa and Movala. It's going to be a long journey for Movala going over there. So you think between the journey and the home advantage, it might be enough for Narasa. Karen Donna, of course, who got promoted from Division 4. God, they've been down there a long time. And both the likes of Conor O'Donnell now, you know, is leading them down there, and to have a player that calibre playing inter-county senior football for Donegal and to get drag them out of Division 4 up to Division 3, they'll have their sights maybe set on a run in the Junior A as well, and they'll be looking. Leave Colin Kelly, I'm sure, is difficult, Brendan, for them after losing their intermediate status. You'll know a bit more about the feeling in the camp is maybe than I do at the moment after losing their intermediate status a week or two ago there to Neve Walton. It's going to be hard for them, you know, to pick themselves up now in Junior Championship again. As sometimes when the wheels come off, it's harder to get them back on, so it is. And I think your last game of the weekend is Muff against Pettigoes. You expect Muff a home one there.
Yeah, certainly. And so, Gary, just you're fancying the Fulcarraman for the intermediate. Do you want to give me your two predictions, say, and we'll hold them tight towards the end of the season for your junior and your senior?
I'm going to go for St. Unans, as I said. You know, after coming out of that county final, I just thought, you know, they'd be the happiest team there. And the hunger and the hurt they probably have, you know, from losing that semi-final to Glenties last year and the noise about the controversial goal as well is going to really sting them and annoy them. The juniors probably to me nearly the most open one at the minute. You know, it's going to be hard to pick a winner. To put my head on the block, I'll go with Downings. You know, but maybe Cairn Donagh's dark horses.
Yeah, Downings to make up for the disappointment of last year. Gary, listen, yeah, I'll log
it. It's almost the same as Clonmacnoise in the intermediate,
that's
isn't
right,
it?
That's right. And we've seen, obviously, Niamh Connell come back from 2 and bounce on to 1-1 and possibly another one, but we'll see how that plays out. Gary, listen, thanks so much for all that update and run across the three championships, and we'll check in with you as the campaign goes on.
Don't forget about Doyle Senior C, Brendan. I'm still trying to play myself there. We were beat yesterday, unfortunately by McCool. So we've lost our first two games. So we're up against it. We lost to McCool's and lost to Glenfinnan the week afterwards. But the only good thing is, Brendan, there's five in the group. I think the top four go through. So we're still in it. We need to win the last two games against Termon in our draft.
Yes, that was Gary McDade there. Good to get his points on the local scene here. And I want to thank him for his input tonight. That's the end of the show. I want to thank my guests, Declan Boner, Mick McGrath and Fergal Logan. I want to thank Canis for producing, Head of Sport, Oisin Kelly. As we look forward to the big All-Ireland final, we'll get feedback on the game next week. And we'll also cover all the GA stories from the county. I'll speak to you all then.
The DL Debate in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love with outdoor dining. Book now and enjoy the Sarah's experience.